Welcome to Tony's Take Podcast.
Welcome to the Tony's Take Podcast episode. I think this is 372.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
I have three. Okay, yeah, because I missed last week.
Yeah.
So welcome to 372 of the Tony's Take Podcast. I'm Sean, and joined with me, we have Off-Road Andy.
Hello.
And Tony Katz.
Yes, hello, hello, hello.
Thank you for tuning in. Hit that subscribe button, share with a friend, and check out our entertainment podcast right after this. I'm back. We'll get into more of that on the next pod, so check out our entertainment podcast. Missed last week with some allergies. I can speak again, and I don't have much of a cough anymore, so that is good. Let's get into the NBA. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we closed out the regular season, so we can finally do our official update of our over-unders from the beginning of the year, and good race here. 21-9 is Tony's record, and 21-9 is Sean's record.
Oh.
So you guys tied, which is it's a very good record.
So do we share a trophy, or
I don't know. I'll buy a dinner or something. I don't know.
Oh.
I finished 16-14, which is okay. That's probably enough to get your money back. Two games over, two wins over losses.
Depending, I guess, the price on. I think most of them are usually like 110, 120, but I think some are like 130, 140.
But it was notable. I think we went 9-3 on the teams we agreed on. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. 9-3. Was our record. So we all said under on the Knicks, and that was one of our losses. All said under on the T-Wolves, and all said over on the Spurs. And so those are our three consensus losses. But overall, good year. Congratulations on that. And then, yeah, looking back at who are the big overperformers. In the East, you had the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics, 9.5 and 8.5 wins over. And then in the West, T-Wolves and Thunder, so two of the top seeds there. They way overperformed pretty considerably there. And then the biggest underperformers, Detroit Pistons, who were not expected to be good at all, still went way under, only 14 wins on the season.
Incredible.
And Toronto Raptors as well, big losers. They lost some guys in the offseason, and then they ended up trading two of their better players during the season, so not a surprise there. And then in the West, the big loser is the Grizzlies, who had one of the all-time most disastrous seasons with just injuries and gun suspensions and all of that. And then, yeah, I don't know who was the next worst in the West. I think the West was a little closer. Trailblazers and Spurs, both -7.5. So they were two teams that didn't try to win games really at the end of the season or at any point in the season.
But, sure felt that way.
Yeah. Their team, they had the top two picks last year, right? Or no, first and third, I think. That's what's kind of crazy. The teams at the bottom, pretty much none of them improved. Houston actually 9.5 over their expectation. They were kind of the one young team that went from being really bad to being solid. But yeah, like a lot of the worst teams from last year, Charlotte, the Spurs, Portland, they were down at the bottom again this year. Anything else on the over-unders?
No, I mean, impressive. We had a good run. I mean, overall, collectively, as a team, we went 58-32, which is impressive. You know, 26 games above 500 for, that's not bad at all. So that was nice, especially after how some of our NFL picks went this last season. But yeah, very good.
And then another thing I have here is the interconference record. So, I mean, it's no surprise if you end up looking at the final standings that the West was better than the East. But look at the actual interconference games here. Another blowout for the West. They went 260-191 against the East. That is a 58% win percentage. It's equivalent to winning 47 games in a season. So, depending on what conference that is, that could be could be a 10 seed or that could be a 2 seed. But yeah, let's take a look at the actual final standings here in that playoff matchups in the play-in matchups, which will be important. But we'll start here with the Eastern Conference, where Boston had it wrapped up for a long time. But at the end here, Milwaukee ended up blowing their two seed to the Knicks, who got that two, which may actually benefit Milwaukee for a reason we'll get into in a couple minutes. And then at four, you got Cleveland and five, the Magic. So Cleveland at one point, I think, was up to two, and they dropped, and they just kind of, those teams weren't separated by a whole lot. The Pacers finished sixth. So we know Milwaukee will face the Pacers, and Cleveland will face the Magic with home court advantage. And then in the play-in games, the Sixers won eight in a row to close the season, but were not able to escape that play-in. And so they will be playing the Miami Heat on Wednesday at home for the 7 seed. And then, of course, the loser of that game will be playing for the 8 seed versus the 9-10 game, which is Chicago-Atlanta, which we have known about for years, it seems like. That's just destined to be. I believe the Hawks have played in this game 3 times already, and the Bulls have played in a couple times. But yeah, the big thing here is I think after Boston and maybe Milwaukee, the Sixers and the Heat are the two best teams in the East, or the two teams people most trust, and they're here down at the end of the bracket here. So the fact that Boston could be facing Philly or Miami in round one, and the Knicks could be playing Philly or Miami in round one is kind of devastating. Especially, I wouldn't want to play the Sixers right now. I think the Sixers, the way they're playing, are probably better than Milwaukee.
Yeah, and it's a bummer. I was saying yesterday because the Knicks, you know, they got that that 2 seed and a comeback victory, and it looks like they will. I think they'll play Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia, they've won 8 in a row. They've been hot since Embiid got back, and they'll be at home against Miami. And with New York's got some injuries to their bigs, you know, Randall's out, and so I think it's going to definitely be a problem. It's going to be a good series. And then Milwaukee and Indiana, I felt like, played each other. I mean, every time they played each other this year, it was like the over-under was like in the 250s, you know what I mean? So that's going to be a fun series, like you were saying. And then Cleveland-Orlando, just the only thing out of that is kind of crazy to think. One of those teams, no matter what, has to go into the next round. Orlando's had a fun year. They're a young team. And then, yeah, Chicago-Atlanta. I agree with you. Someone's going to win that game. And then, and I mean, that's a coin flip, in my opinion, between Atlanta and Chicago. Although Atlanta, I see now, has lost 6 in a row. So they're struggling. But I think, you know, whoever that winner is will more than likely have to play Miami at home. And, I mean, on the road in Miami. And so, yeah, it looks like I think Sixers and Miami are the two best in that that aspect of those four teams. And I think those will be the two that find their way out. I just think it'll take Miami 2 games to get out.
Yeah, which I think was the case last year as well. Yeah, they lost the first play-in game and ended up winning the second and beating the Bucks in the first round. So sure the Celtics fans aren't looking forward to that being the case because they, if you remember, went all the way and beat the Celtics. And then the West, we did have kind of a big surprise. A couple weeks ago at this time, we were talking about the Thunder kind of losing it. Shea missed a bunch of games, and they kind of fell out of the race for the 1 seed. But at the end of the season, they got all the way back, and they are the 1 seed. They tied with Denver, but won the tiebreaker there. And Denver lost the 1 seed by blew a 20-point lead against San Antonio on the second to last game. So that was pretty bad on their part. Like, they just need to take care of business against San Antonio. They would have had the 1 seed again. And with the play-in stuff, you can't like really engineer the matchup you want. So it really gets hard for the play-in teams as well, like what's going on there. So I don't know if it's like – it's not advantageous to get the 2 seed here in any way, I don't think. And then at 3, Minnesota, the 4, Clippers, 5, the Mavericks. So Clippers and Mavericks had like a tank off at the end of the season here where when it looked like the Mavericks weren't going to be able to catch them – the Mavericks pulled their players, so then the Clippers pulled their players, and then the Mavericks lost by like 50 points yesterday.
Yeah, they got blown out good.
So, I mean, the fact that the Clippers lost 3 in a row to end the season, but like Terrence Mann played like 90 minutes in all of the games, you know, per game.
He
played 2 positions. It was not really a real game for the Clippers in any of those games, which I do feel bad for fans if you were buying tickets. Like, they tried to engineer this, like, oh, the end of the season will be exciting. I think they had all the games at the same time in the conferences, which was neat. Kind of like football does that. And it didn't work because most of the teams took the day off anyways. And then the Suns got the 6 seed, which is important to get out of that play-in. And step left New Orleans at 7.
And I did see that. I saw the series price today. Phoenix, even though they are the 6 seed against the 3 seed Minnesota, who only finished a game out of the 1 seed, Suns are favored to win the series at minus 120. So very small price, but
Suns finished well. They're all healthy. Yeah. So
this is what they, I feel like this is what they wanted. It's a marathon, not a sprint. They feel like right now, possibly like the Houston Astros, where it's like, you just get in, you know, you have a good roster, and then you see what happens in the playoffs, and they're going to be tough to beat in a series.
They gave Grayson Allen a bunch of money. That was crazy.
Like led the league in 3-point percentage.
But yeah, 7 and 8 is kind of, I think, the premier matchup of the play-in here. Lakers, Pelicans. So the Pelicans kind of were hoping to get up even higher, kind of try to get like the 4 seed a few weeks ago, but they ended up falling down here. And now they host the Lakers for the 7 seed, and they haven't had a lot of success against the Lakers, including this past yesterday. They lost and it wasn't even close. Anthony Davis as well against his former team there. So we're in a scenario here where Pelicans had a really good season for, you know, 80% of it. And at the end of the day, we might see Zion Williamson not even make the playoff field. So yeah, right now, I don't know what, I'm sure they have a line here for this. Lakers got to be
New Orleans
is favorite. Okay. Well, I'm surprised.
At home,
I know they're at home, but just, I would think,
but, it's going to be interesting because you know, whoever wins that game is going to get Denver in the first round.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to talk about with the seeding is like, you don't want to play the 7th seed, I don't think, but you also don't want to play the 8th seed.
Well, exactly, because it's not a guarantee you're going to beat Sacramento or Golden State, whoever loses that game. And that's, you know, another nice matchup from last year's first round where Draymond Green stepped on Sabonis' chest. So both Bay Area teams, Bay Area-ish area, Northern California teams will say that. So That'll be a good matchup too. So the West is definitely going to be exciting, I think. I mean, you got great matchups there. You know, like we said, Phoenix, Minnesota, Dallas, Clippers, and then either Denver, New Orleans, or Denver Lakers, and then either Oklahoma City, Golden State, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, or Oklahoma City
Lakers. All four of them.
Yeah,
they could play all four of them.
I guess New Orleans.
Yeah, too. New Orleans could lose and win.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know why I was saying all that.
All four teams are eligible. So. Yeah, what are the spreads on the
playing Philly games? Only 4.5 is kind of surprising.
Yeah. The Bulls 3.5.
But I guess I haven't watched enough East Coast stuff, so.
Yeah, so that means so it's Magic, Cavs, and Suns, T-Wolves are confirmed for Saturday, April 20th. It's a day that people care about. and the Pacers, Bucks, Clippers, Mavericks are confirmed for Sunday. So it's a nice little Sunday Sunday night matchup, Luka coming to L.A. I do have to say a few words about this series, and I don't like the attitude the Mavericks and their media and their fans have. Very, very cocky. Like, if you go back and look, they've been on a good run, but they haven't really beat anyone. They've been taking care of business against teams that aren't really trying, which is what you're supposed to do at the end of the season here. But I think I saw their big win was that Kyrie crazy game winner.
Oh, the hook shot. Like left-handed hook shot or whatever it was.
And they haven't really had any like wins over any other top teams, I think. I mean, they've beaten like Golden State and stuff. It's not like they have no wins against 500 teams, but they have really just been dominating a lot of trashy teams. And they made good moves, but the Clippers are still good. The Clippers, I think, have the best run of any team has had this season. That like December-January stretch they had is better than what the Mavericks are playing here. Just the question is, can they get that Magic back? Is Kawhi going to be 100%? Is James Harden going to be 100%? He's really been tired here at the end, but they're getting like weeks off. Kawhi's going to have like a whole month off by the time they play. And it does feel like people forgot that the Clippers won both of those series that they played previously because they were good series in the sense that like Luka had a bunch of numbers. But that first series went 6 games and was lucky to go 6 games. Clippers really dominated that series. And then the other one went 7 games, but again, the Clippers were better, I think, overall in that series. And it's not like the Maverick, they went 1-1 and it was this great matchup. Like, no, the Clippers took care of business both series. And, Clippers are favored by 1.5 at home, which means they're probably, you know, slight underdogs, right? For the series, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta.
Maybe about even.
See if I can find any of the series prices.
But it seems like a lot of people have written the Clippers off after, I don't know what they finished. Post All-Star break, roughly 500. Not impressive at all, but.
Oh, here we go. So the series prices that are up right now, to go over them, Cavaliers minus 200 against the Magic, who are plus 165 on the comeback. Suns, like I said earlier, minus 120. Timberwolves, even money. So yeah, the Mavericks, slight favorites on the Clippers. Minus 125, Clippers plus 105. And those are the only ones they have up at the moment. So,
yeah. I mean, another thing was that one of the Mavericks media guys said to Oklahoma City media people after the game yesterday, said, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks, indicating that they will win the series and go play Oklahoma City.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
Mike, you guys are getting real cocky for a team that's never
If Mavericks won. Do get past the Clippers, I think, and they do face – well, also, who's to say Oklahoma City is going to get past? I mean, if Oklahoma City plays the Lakers, New Orleans, or any of those four teams, like, that's not a guarantee by any means, like, at all. You know what I mean? Like, those are – all four of those teams are capable of beating Oklahoma City in a series. And the Oklahoma City is a young team, so it's like, you know, I think they're – they might win a series, but they're I don't think they're going to get much farther than that. I don't think they'll be in the Western Finals. I think they're too young, and I think that'll eventually, like, you know, this year will be kind of a kind of get to, you know, feel it out a little bit. And I think next another couple years they'll be they'll be good, or I mean they were good already, but I mean like chance to win it. But is there any more NBA talk? I mean, we got the game start tomorrow.
Yeah. Should we shift over to baseball?
Yeah, not much here. Just wanted to follow from last week that Spencer Strider, Spencer Strider is out for the season, so they won't.
Can I make another
cautious.
Pick?
Yeah, maybe you should.
Give me next week. Let me throw on another. It's still early.
Can I ban you from whoever's like a
yeah? Let me right let's now? See what the leaders, the early leaders, are
ban
for pitching.
A couple people here. Yeah, the Cubs guy still hasn't got the Cubs Japanese guy hasn't given up a run.
Paul Blackburn has a,
and the Dodgers guy has given up multiple runs. So did we pick the wrong Japanese guy? Like, come on, I don't know. But yeah, Shota Imanaga of the Cubs 2-0 with a 0
19 ERA. Innings. Holy shit! Oh, that's Paul Blackburn 19 innings. Cutter Crawford, what a name! And then you got that.
Let's see.
Oh, Jose Berrios is back from the dead. Jose Berrios. Tyler Glasnow, I like seeing.
I'm just looking at the innings pitched right now.
Who did you say on the National League again for Cy Young?
I don't remember.
Oh, wow. Very good.
Someone who's, let me see. It's going to be here somewhere. MLB preview. Where is that?
Trying to look back here. Logan Webb.
Okay. I don't think he's doing very well.
Oh, he's right there. Six. He's not doing too bad.
3.8 year.
Okay. Yeah.
But, this is just innings pitch.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I mean, you don't want to look. Oh, the guy's a 0 ERA in six innings. Like, that doesn't count. Let's see. I will ban Wheeler and Glasnow from you.
Okay. For the National League. That's right. I'm only picking National League.
You don't get a redo on the American League.
Can we go to just – should I pick it now? Can we just go to just National League? Let's see here. You know who's actually looking good there is – Zach Gallen. You should probably ban Zach Gallen for me. He's 3-0 with a 1.64 ERA.
I banned the two guys.
That's all right. So. Then I'll take Zach Gallen. He was close last year, and I think he – because honestly, if I am being honest, I know we have no proof to prove this, but Zach Gallen was one of my – was going to be like – was like my next pick basically behind Strider. I just thought Strider was going to just dominate this year, have the better ERA. But I'll go Gallen. I think he'll be a nice bright spot. It's been a bright spot. So yeah, that's my new pick, Zach Gallen, because of we could, maybe if he wins, we could put a slight asterisk note towards it. Say, hey, you know, this would happen. I mean, I didn't have Tyler O'Neill leading in home runs right now. Look at him, or Marcelo Ozuna. It just feels like every year it's a different guy that just steps up on the Braves. That's not a like on top of what Acuna does.
He's the guy. He's the domestic violence guy. Right?
Yeah. Played on the Marlins, the Cardinals. Yeah. He's always had a quick, strong bat, but you know, I don't think he was. I guess he did play only a little bit last year. I think he obviously had distractions last year.
Price. I remember those that the one that won the World Series, it was, I believe, Rosario who dominated the Dodgers, and then Soler won MVP. And it was like they were both mid-season pickups because of
– I always say out of all the four major sports, I always say baseball, that's where the World Series is won, is the deadline. Because you can always get good pitcher, good hitter, the bullpen guys you need. So, yeah, that's a fun start there so far for baseball. I haven't really gotten to pay too much attention to it, so it's fun seeing who these early league leaders are. I did not realize that Paul Blackburn and Shota Imanaga have a 0 ERAs through the first few starts of theirs. And then that Blanco guy in Houston, I mean, that's scary to think if they have another legit guy, and that guy threw a no-hitter this year. He's got a 0.86 ERA.
But isn't he 30 already?
I don't care if he's 30. It matters about right now. But yeah, he is 30. I mean, yeah, he was horrible a couple years. But well, whatever. Maybe he's on the juice. Maybe he'll be banned by like July. So I think that's it for baseball.
Yeah, let's move over to hockey.
Yeah, before we look at the standings one last time before the end of the season, we do have a big news story regarding hockey, and that is that the Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes, I don't know which one they're on.
Arizona now.
they will not be either of those names going forward. I think you even referenced last week that they're playing in like a junior college or something. They are moving to Utah. So I believe the owner of the Jazz has been involved in getting this deal done. So I think he'll end up taking over the team. I'm not sure how that's all going to work, but yeah, they just have not been able to make that team work in Arizona there. And it makes more sense to play in Salt Lake than it does Phoenix. When you think of the average temperature of those two towns, Salt Lake is right there in the mountains. And I don't know. I didn't read too much in this. I assume the Jazz Arena is.
It is Delta Arena. Yeah.
You can play hockey there. So, seems like a nice transition there, but it always sucks when a team leaves its town. I'm sure there are thousands of Coyotes fans in Phoenix there, and they're losing their team, and I don't know what the future is there. But yeah, it hasn't worked out for that franchise there. So I don't know. It's been around for what, 20, 30 years?
Yeah,
maybe?
I mean, I remember being a kid, and Arizona was one of the teams I liked as a kid because I remember watching Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk. So yeah, I mean, it shows, they moved to Phoenix in 96.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. I mean, I always liked that logo too. Kind of like the trippy, like Mexican style painting.
Like Picasso.
Yeah. Picasso.
he's a coyote. He has half of a goalie helmet on. It's cool.
Yeah. It's a cool logo. Especially their older ones. They were always pretty cool. So it's going to be a bummer to see a team like that be no more. But I know they were having issues, it felt like. I mean, last year they were supposed to have a new stadium, and they played all their games in a ASU stadium. And then this year they were still there. So it's like, hey, I mean, these guys haven't gotten to play in a real stadium, a pro stadium, in 2 years. So it's kind of crazy. They've been kind of shafted, and they have been one of the worst teams the last 2 years as well. So, but they got the young players. We'll see what happens to the Coyotes in the future. But we want to give a standings update here. We gave one last week, so we'll give you guys an update again right here in a moment. So now we've got...
Let's start with the West.
Yeah.
The West playoff field is set.
Yeah.
Just seeding here.
And so I found out how... I remember now how it goes. So we got Dallas won the Central, 111 points. Then Winnipeg second in the Central with 106. And then, okay, actually I'll do this. Then Vancouver won the Pacific with 107. And then you've got Winnipeg as the two seed, I mean, in the Central at 106, Colorado 105 at the three. In the Pacific, to finish it out, Edmonton got the two seed, 102 points. Kings, 97 points, have the three seed. And your two wildcard teams are Nashville and the Golden Knights. Golden Knights can still pass LA, though, because they're only 1 point behind with two games to go for both teams. But I found out, I remember now the playoff way, how it works. And I don't know if I was saying this before, but the one seeds play the two playoff teams, the two wildcard teams, and then the two and threes play each other.
Yeah.
So if the playoffs were to end today, you'd have Dallas versus Vegas, which would be a hell of a matchup. Last year's Stanley Cup winner against the number one team in the West. And then you would have Vancouver would play Nashville, which would be a pretty good matchup. And then you'd have Winnipeg and Colorado, which would be a tight matchup. And then you'd have Edmonton and LA Kings, which would be a fun matchup. So definitely some good matchups in the horizon here for when the NHL playoffs begin, which I assume would be next Monday or something, or a weekend, or because I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see when.
I know Thursday's the Ducks last. So Thursday's the last regular season games.
Games on Thursday. So yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it Monday. Or Sunday, I guess, yeah, because I guess they don't know quite yet. But yeah, so maybe the weekend. But yeah, then we can go over to the East Coast where it's getting exciting still, or staying exciting. You've got the New York Rangers with 112 points in first place in the Metropolitan with one game to go, and the Carolina Hurricanes 1 point behind them with one game to go for that. And then the Islanders sit third in the Metropolitan. And then you've got the Bruins at first with 109, but... And they got two games left. Florida's got one game left, and they're a point behind with 108. Maple Leafs sitting there in third with 102. And then this is where it gets fun. I mean, well, you got Tampa Bay Lightning have the wild card secured, 96 points for the number one. And then you've got the Capitals. The Capitals sitting there at the two seed with 87 points, but tied with the Capitals, Detroit and Philly both with 87, and Pittsburgh with 86. And it's going to be a hell of a finish. Washington, Detroit, Pittsburgh all have two games left, while Philly only has one. So Philly's going to need some help. I think they're not.
Well, and Detroit is down by two goals at the end of the second. So.
Ooh, and that's against that's at home against Montreal. You need to win that game. You cannot be losing to Montreal at home. So that's and the Islanders are up 3-1 on the Devils, who have packed it in. So that's good for the Islanders. Although they're sitting at the, you know, to keep that lead strong for the Metropolitan. And
Pittsburgh got up by a goal as well. Seems like a must win for them there.
Oh, yeah. At home against, you know, they're going to come in there. Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is going to be an exciting, exciting, exciting finish for on whenever it is, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this time next week, we'll have the playoff matchups and we'll talk about it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we had some big golf over the weekend.
Yeah, we did Masters. Have the Masters kicking off the golf season for real. You know, 4-day tournament. The favorite one. I don't know if that's boring or exciting. You want to see the best guys win more championships. And I mean, Scheffler's won this before, but and he's the number one, been the number one ranked player, I think, for over a year now. And he won. It wasn't, I don't want to say it was the easiest win ever, but it was pretty easy.
Yeah, he not had a lot of drama. He had a setback Saturday when he went all the way and he had three bogeys and two straight holes and went all the way back down to, like 5 under, and it was like set was in like fifth place or something. And then these guys had their chances, but they weren't making their putts that they needed. And he, like Colin Morikawa, was up there. And I'll give a note to Andy. Andy threw Ludvig Åberg on this list that we talked about, and he ended up being one of the top finishers. And he was in the mix all weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So good call there by Andy. Matsuyama, I don't even know if he made the cut. He didn't.
A couple of these guys didn't make the cut. Spieth didn't make the cut.
Yeah, Koepka didn't do very good. Rahm didn't make the cut, I don't think. Rory, I don't think had, I think he, I don't know how good his performance was, but
I think it was like plus one or something. He had a fish.
Yeah, but Scheffler, good for him. And Tiger did make the cut and then got last place of everybody that made the cut. And he shot like 16 over. He completely.
So I said
he was in pain, I think.
That he seemed like his goal for the entire season was I need to make the Masters cut. And he did. And then fell apart. I don't know if he has said like his body fell apart or just
no. There was a video that surfaced of him like putting icy hot all over his body on like one of the fairways or something or before it started.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And also, he did say he had a quote that said it was a good week, like it was a successful week. So I think you're right. I think his goal was let me make the cut, and he did.
I did see that the second to last finisher was Vijay Singh. So
yeah, like 14 over, there, I think. And that was the thing is that when you make the master, when you win the Masters, you're invited back every season, I believe. So
good for you. And you get one of those snazzy gold jackets.
Well, it's because they have their dinner is why. You know, I think that's another reason they have that. It's basically like, you know, that the Heisman. I feel like when the Heisman commercial, you know, when they're all the Heisman people are in a big house. That's just how the Masters is. Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we close out with the Champions League?
Yes. Yes, we should. So last week when we left you guys, we had talked about Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Manchester City. So two other games happened after that. Atletico Madrid beat Borussia Dortmund 2-1. And a big one here, Barcelona beating PSG 3-2 on the road. So they will go back to Barcelona where... Yeah, it's going to be tough for PSG to climb out of that. Atletico Madrid and Dortmund, you can better believe that that'll still be a good series because now they go back to Dortmund. They got a huge goal late in the 81st minute when they were down 2-0. And it's big because now that makes the aggregate only 2-1 instead of 2-0. So you just got to basically win at home in regulation. And if you win by more than one, you move on. And if you just win by one, then we go into extra time and possibly penalty kicks. So Dortmund's got a good team. So they... should do well. And then, I mean, Atletico Madrid always seems to do well on some of these games. And I believe, they play again this week. So Tuesday, Barcelona and PSG play each other. And then Dortmund and Atletico Madrid play each other. So they flip-flop. And then you'll have Munich, Arsenal on Wednesday and then City, Madrid on Wednesday. Those aggregates are both tied. 3-3 in the City, Madrid and 2-2 in Arsenal, Munich. And those games will be... in Bayern Munich and then in Manchester City. So Should be a good those ones will be really exciting finishes. Yeah.
And how does that affect these teams that are still in the middle of their Premier League season?
Yeah, like, so to piggyback on that, it's Manchester City. I was actually glad you brought that up because I did want to bring up the Premier League. Right now, Manchester City's in first place with 73 points. Arsenal's second place with 72, and Liverpool has 71. And Liverpool lost a game they needed to win. I mean, I'm a Liverpool fan. I'm sorry, they both have 71, Arsenal and Liverpool. Liverpool lost at home to Crystal Palace, which is a bottomish team. They only have 33 points, while Liverpool has 71, to put it in perspective. And you can't be losing that game. And that's what Liverpool was doing a couple years ago. That really hurt them. That's why they're not even in the Champions League this year, was because last year they just had issues where they were tying or losing to these cupcake teams in the middle to bottom half of the table, the standings. And that's not going to fly. And so I think they really hurt themselves. And I was looking at all three of their schedules to end the season, and City has the easiest, especially to their caliber of play. So, I think my prediction right now would be that Manchester City is going to hold on unless they choke. There's still like 8 games left or so, something like that. There's still a decent amount of games, but it'll be a tight finish. So, it should be good.
All right. Well, I think that'll wrap up episode 372 of the Sports Podcast. I'm Sean, and joined with me, we had Off-Road Andy.
Thank you.
And Tony Katz.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll see you later.